My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities. Can transform the world. And rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do? What's up? What's going on? Good Wednesday. We love our Wednesdays.
Yeah,
big
nice.
Sook's over there.
Right here.
Because P hat on. I don't know what that means. Portland, maybe.
Yeah, it's Portland.
Pennsylvania, maybe Pirates.
Yeah, it kind of has that feel to it. It's actually a Portland police officer's hat.
Ah.
What do we got? Portland Police Bureau Association, 75 years, whatever. It's my buddy's hat. So
fantastic.
Shout out to you cops out there getting her done. To the bad ones, no, not you. But to the good ones, we love you.
Do the bad ones know they're bad ones?
I think the bad ones do know that they're bad ones.
Think so?
100%. Absolutely. And that's the crappy part, is there are a lot of people that get into that job for the wrong reasons. And those guys suck. That's why I don't like universal, like you say, like, oh, I love cops. Oh, I love the military. Oh, I love teachers. No, I love the good ones. But when you get into trouble, when you paint with a broad stroke and say that all people that do something are great. No, they're not. It's like all people that do stuff is bad. We can't paint with broad brushes.
You mean not all sports radio hosts are great?
No. Not everyone's a window daddy. I'll tell you that right now.
Hey, it's your window daddy.
You're damn right.
Yeah.
It's just, it's weird when we get into that sort of thing. It's like, you know, coaches, teachers, you know, that's noble work. And yet every day, you know, there's someone else getting arrested for abusing their position of power and touching a kid inappropriately. You know, so you can't just be like, oh, teachers. No, the good ones. So, you know, I get flack. Sometimes I wear my police hat and some people get all pissy about it. And other people like, oh, yeah, all cops. Yeah, truth lies somewhere in the middle. But I think my buddy's one of the good ones. So. Shout out to Officer
Dave. You wouldn't know if he's one of the bad ones.
I would think so.
I don't think you would. That's part of the problem.
I think I would.
I don't think you would.
Yeah, because if he was one of the bad ones, then we'd be in cahoots. I'd be like, yeah, let's go.
Well,
I'd be all about it.
Well, I mean, you may be thinking of a corrupt cop, which would make him a bad one.
That would make him
But you
bad
don't
one.
Have to be corrupt to be a bad cop.
No, you don't. Well, how about this? I choose to believe in my dear friend that he's one of the good ones.
There you go.
How about that?
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I love that for you.
And then when the inevitable scandal happens, I'll be like, I never saw it coming. Actually, I'll be the one like, you know what? Something was off the entire time. Yeah, I knew it. That son of a gun.
You know who does know if he's bad?
What do you got?
Other cops.
Yes.
They know.
Yes, they know. And that's the weird part is everyone loves that guy. It's weird. Mm, everywhere
see?
I go,
see?
He's universally beloved.
See?
Which makes me suspicious.
You should be.
One of my favorite things is whenever I'm out and about, like when we're at, like, me and my buddy go to the Timbers games, and we'll bring my cop friend, and we always make fun of him because I'm like, geez, do you know every cop? And he's like, well, yeah. So we always like doing the, when he's not there, we like, hey, do you know Officer so-and-so? And they're like, oh, yeah. I'm like, can you send him a message? And then it's usually something very vulgar and inappropriate. You know, we like to pass on that love to him.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Why don't you name him?
I don't know. It's just kind of one of those. He knows who he is.
You sure about that?
Sure about that? You sure about that?
See, I'm going to be Mr. Skeptical Guy today. That's my new...
I like it. Window Daddy's going to be skeptical.
I'm skeptical of everything.
Well, I watched that stupid Connor Stallions documentary last night.
I thought you weren't going
to
watch it.
I wrote me in. It was like sitting around. There was nothing to do.
Idiot.
And I fell asleep like halfway through it. And then I woke up at the end. And you want to talk about skeptical and what a hunk of crap that thing was.
Can we put that on the table for 3:30?
Absolutely.
Because I got a whole thing on
it. You got a whole thing on it?
Well, I have thoughts on the Air McNair one as well.
Yes.
I watched,
and so does Sook. So it's right in my notes here. I'm going to read it to you that at 3:30 we're doing sports documentary talk.
Yeah, both of those things pissed me off.
So we're going to get on, we're going to get... I can tell you that is separate. It's documentary talk, but it's separate of the documentary talk that we're going to do today.
Yeah, okay.
On the program.
Yes.
But there, I did read today that there is a new sports documentary coming, another one.
And it's probably going to suck.
It is on Netflix, and it's called Starting Five.
Mm-hmm.
And they followed LeBron James, Jason Tatum, Anthony Edwards, DeMontis Sabonis, and Jimmy Butler last year.
Mm-hmm.
There are 10 episodes. They will begin airing October 9th. And Omaha Productions is a part of it.
I want to like these things.
Coming soon.
I'm going to say that now I'm going 8 out of 10 of the sports documentaries that come across my plate. I find insulting and irrelevant and just, I don't know. It's fanboy crap.
Now
I know.
You're launching into the segment.
All right. Well, let's not.
You're not supposed to do that.
What are we then? What? Where do we want to go? You want to talk Windows? What are we doing? What are we doing?
We can do it if you want.
No, let's go into something else. You want to talk hot NFL preseason talk? You want to talk about roster cuts?
No, I don't want to
talk about Oregon, Idaho.
No, that all sucks.
I don't know what to do.
Everything sucks.
We got Mariners on right now. Mariners and Astros.
Well, we can talk about Julio Rodriguez, who
sucks. Your Kansas City Royals. Boy, I saw some numbers for Julio today that were like, holy cow.
He sucks, but he hit a home run today.
Yes, but he sucks.
He does suck.
I mean, like...
I just told you that.
Yeah, but that's I don't
know. He sucks. He's having a bad year.
Yes.
He just is.
It's rough.
It's just bad.
I got to pull this up because, you know, sometimes you're scrolling Twitter, a.k.a. X.
Now, the Astros are winning 10-0, by the way.
Yeah, they're hammering them. But at least the Mariners are winning. So, you know, there's that.
Keep pace. Oh, and you mentioned my Royals.
Yeah.
They lost today.
I know. So now the Guardians are back in sole possession of first place.
But I have a hot fact. Do you want a sports fact?
Give it to me.
Do you like sports facts?
I love it.
Right in the butt?
I'm going to give it to you right in the butt.
Let's go.
The Royals, should they win the AL Central,
mm-hmm.
will be the first team to lose 100 games in the next season win its division. That has never been done in the history of Major League Baseball.
Oh, not that.
And the Royals could do it.
Offense to Bobby!
Yeah, he hit a home run again today.
I do love Bobby.
And they have caught the Indian or the Guardians, I guess, they're called now.
Who at one point, which, by the way, can I just say that's still... It just doesn't work. I understand that you don't want to be the Indians anymore because Chief Wahoo, it's incredibly racist. I understand that. But it's the same thing with the Redskins. Like, I'm all for getting rid of the crappy name, but my God, the Guardians and the Commanders, it just doesn't work.
It doesn't work, right?
It doesn't work.
And the reason you know it doesn't work is because you just never you always slip up and you say and you never remember the new one.
No, had it been the Cleveland Spiders, which is what it should have been, we would have been fine. We're like, the Spiders.
Yeah.
It flows. It works. Same thing. Had it been like the Red Hogs or it had been the Red Tails, it would have worked. But no, you went with the freaking Commanders, the Red Wolves. Any of that stuff works. But you went with the Commanders and it doesn't. It just doesn't sit well. And the Guardians thing, it pisses me off.
Anyway.
Hey, this is my Julio stat.
Yeah.
Julio has 12 doubles this entire season and a grand total of 23 extra base hits all year. All year.
Well, he hit a home run today.
He hit a home run, so that's 12. So he has 12 on the year. There are eight players who have 12 or more home runs since the last time he hit a home run before today.
That's amazing.
I mean, it's like, I mean, there's having bad years, and then there's whatever this is that Julio is doing.
Well,
and maybe he breaks out. I mean, I saw it today. They were saying that his swing's looking better, and you know,
he might have a big September.
We hope.
He's fought some injuries, but before he went down, he was hot, stirring garbage.
Yes, and when he came back, it wasn't much better.
Well, yeah, I don't think he was. I think. Well, here's what I would say. Just from, I mean, I keep an eye on the Mariners.
Mm-hmm.
When he came back, he wasn't ready, and that was a problem.
Yeah,
because he had an ankle injury, and you could tell it affected his swing. Mm-hmm. But maybe he's back in center field now, and maybe he's feeling better with his swing.
Let's hope.
And he could have a big set. You know, they're poised for him to just bust loose because he has so much talent. Mm-hmm. They're poised for him to just have the biggest September in the history of Septembers and carry them to the playoffs. Yes. That's what this is teed up for.
Because it's going to be, it's 3.5. Because it's going to be 3.5 after today.
He's just not going to be this bad for this long, is he? Does he just suck?
You can't.
Or is it just a bad year?
It's got to be a bad year. And maybe we'll find out, like you said, you know, the injury thing, something's going on. I don't know, maybe something in his personal life. Like, you don't go from what he was to this, especially this young. I mean,
well, sophomores sometimes do. They, you know, the league adjusts to you.
Oh boy.
And enough that he's
this much?
Well, but I actually, this isn't his, is this his third year?
I think this is his third year, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
So that doesn't apply.
Well, I mean, the only one like Bellinger went through this but his was, you know, he had that shoulder and never was quite the same, and he rebounded a bit, and we got Deshaun Watson, but that's a massage thing going on. Normally, you don't go from, you know, hey, you're one of the bright young stars to whatever this. He's basically Kelnick.
Yeah, this is third season.
And by the way, they're talking about trying to sit his ass down. Kelnick's been platooning. The Braves are talking about just sitting him.
Well, he's not any good.
No, he's not.
So, rookie of the year, Julio.
Yeah.
Last year, 32 bombs, 103 ribs. Went 32 bombs, 37 steals, 275. You know, good little season. This year,
not so much.
Absolute garbage.
Someone bringing up Ty France, .. Totally. Making forward text line.
Yeah.
That was alarming. Yeah, Ty France.
What's up with that guy?
Well, he was an all-star.
Not anymore.
No.
He's with the Reds now. They're trying to...
Well, they designated him. The Reds
he's gone
up.
Now?
Oh, no. I mean, the Mariners did.
Yeah, he's with the Reds now.
I didn't know where he surfaced.
Yeah, they got him in there, and he sucks for them, too.
Yeah.
But he's not nearly as talented as Julio Rodriguez.
No, I mean, he ended up being an all-star, but yeah, that's not... You can't say that the Ty France thing is the same thing that's going on with Julio. And hopefully it's just a weird, you know, it's a weird
just
year.
It's a down year.
Down year.
It
and,
happens.
And you kind of bounce back. Because, yeah, the Kelling thing is a head case. They're saying that guy is just, he's just wound tighter than a drum.
Maybe. Do you think it's his frosted tips?
I don't know.
Because, you know, that is bleach.
Yeah, like an RFK sort of brainworm thing just kind of leaks in.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what that's like. Like, we always... You know, we talk about like mentals now. We're better about dealing with you know. Oh, you got to get your mentals right. But at the same time, I don't know what it's like to be supposedly the number one prospect in baseball, this can't miss guy, and you have all the talent in the world, and then the idea that you every time he goes down, he rakes, and then he gets up to the bigs, and we've seen him do it in flashes, and he has all the physical tools. I don't know what that's like. The amount of frustration to not be able to put together day in and day out. I mean.
Remember, go ask Josh Hamilton.
Yeah. Well, and exactly. And what he ended up doing with the pressure. Or who, like, you know, the Chuck Knobloch not being able to throw the ball to first base. I mean, if you can't get the mental aspect of it right, and that's one of those things that it's not a physical thing. And so hopefully Julio, that's we're not dealing with that. And hopefully he stays positive and doesn't let it get him down. Because that's the other thing, too. At one moment, you're the toast of the city, right? You're the greatest thing to happen in Seattle since Ken Griffey Jr. Next thing you know, you're getting booed and, you know, people are, you know, calling you names. And
they booing him up there?
That certainly doesn't help. Yeah, I think he's been booed a couple times this year.
Yeah? And by the Mariner fans?
They still love him up there, but, you know, fans are fickle. Hmm. You know, when you go out and you're hitting, you know, 212.
How about this? How much are they paying that guy?
I don't know what Julio, let's see what all he's got.
25, 30
something like that.
I mean, come on, man. It's a lot of money.
Well, and that's, you know, people
get your ass together.
People expect big things.
Care what's going on with you. The Steamers need a look. The Steamers. That's my fantasy team.
12 years, 209.
Wow. Okay. That's less than I thought. That's a pretty good deal, actually.
Yeah.
Team friendly.
Yeah, I would think
12, so. 12-209?
Yeah, 12 for 209.
That's it.
That's the Atlanta Braves sort of method, yeah. Right? Just sign early and give him...
$17 million a year is all the more he makes. That's, for 12 years?
That's what we got, yeah.
What a great deal.
Yeah, I'm looking here.
Of course, and... if he keeps hitting 265 with 12 home runs, it's a terrible deal.
Yeah, he makes, you know, it fluctuates a little bit, yeah, but somewhere around between 17 and 19 the entire time. And then there's some club options, you know, but yeah, that wow. basically takes him, if the club wants him, they've got until he's 33.
And who says DePoto's an idiot? Wait.
Right up into the point again.
Pretty much
you
everyone.
About three more years of this. Well, look at the Mike Trout deal, right? I mean, at the time, it seemed like same sort of thing. Give him a long-term deal, and now, you know, Mike Trout can't get on the field. When you sign these long-term deals, it's risky. Like, the Braves did this with, the, like, their entire lineup. And it, at the time, it looked like the smartest thing in the world. But, you know, a couple years go by, if you don't do anything with it, and then, you know, you start asking the question, was it worth it?
Well, we did it, guys. We gave you some hot sports talk. And we did not blow our 3:30 segment log.
Sports!
3:30 segment, sports documentary talk. Up next, poll question. Mm-hmm. Thanks for being with us. It's Wednesday. Big Wednesday show here on The Fan. That's right.
True story.
Prime time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan. It is game week, believe it or not. And I know that because Dusty Hara was down in Eugene today doing his show.
I guess he has to do that every week.
Every
gotta,
week.
Got to make that drive on Wednesday yeah. and on the weekends.
And he's going down there and he gets to cover practice. Yeah. And he's doing all that stuff.
Doing hot content.
He's such a sports guy now.
He is.
And so that's how I know it's game week. Oregon, Idaho.
Yeah, it's like, is it, like? I guess it is game week, but...
Yeah, college football could do itself a favor and really come out of the gate with a bang like the NFL does.
Yeah.
And certainly make more money.
Yeah.
Well, and get fans more interested. But
we got Clemson, Georgia. That's something, right?
Is that this weekend?
Yeah, that's this weekend.
So there's one game this weekend?
And then
so we've already played one game.
On Sunday, we got USC, LSU.
That one I'm excited
that's
for.
Good.
I'll watch
okay,
that.
That's good. And they're doing it on Sunday. That's good, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, why not have
I know
four top 25 matchups on opening weekend?
Well, the problem is that you got a bunch of jackwagons making their schedule, and it doesn't behoove you. We talked to Dave Barr, too, about this. None of this helps. Like, if you really want to do what's best for your team, you do what Oregon's doing.
Oh,
you play a bunch of slappies. I mean, no offense to Boise. Boise's not a bad team, but come on. Stop it. You got Idaho and Boise and, you know, yeah. the likes
well,
of them.
Well, but some teams are playing good games. You just mentioned USC, LSU. Let's just,
yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to be everyone. Just
no.
the I good just, ones. Just put them all on the first weekend.
I just wish that we could have a college football czar that, like, Dana White in the UFC. Like, I love boxing, but the problem with boxing is you can't make matchups. You have to have two people willing. The thing about the UFC is Dana White just like, nah, like, everyone wants to see this versus that. And you get it. And that's, like, in the NFL. Like, you know, there's a reason why the big games on Monday night and the opener is always a game that we want to see because there's a bunch of little smart nerds in there that are picking out the schedule. Whereas in college football, you have to get two people that are willing to get together and say, all right, we're going to play this game. And more often than not, you know, you don't get that. And
what do we get next week? We get Chiefs-Ravens?
Chiefs-Ravens.
And then I think Friday, that's Thursday night.
Mm-hmm. That's
hell of a game.
Absolutely.
And then Friday, we get that weird... Brazil game.
Yeah, where you get the...
It's in Brazil.
Philly and...
Green Bay.
Yeah, Philly and Green Bay.
Also good.
Hey, man, we get the big Linwood, Kansas game
that's
this
tomorrow.
Week.
I mean, that's tomorrow. Yeah.
Hello!
Yeah. Who says they aren't coming out with a bang?
Get excited! I mean, the Colorado...
Never even heard of Linwood.
I didn't know they were a real team.
Where are they?
I couldn't tell you, man. Like, I literally just found out that Linwood was a school like
are we in
a week
trouble?
Ago. I think you're going to be okay. You know, I've seen some people think that Kansas can win the Big 12.
Well, yeah, they're pretty good.
Well, and not only that, but, you know, I get Whoa. That the Big 12 isn't the SEC and it's not the Big 10. It may be the ACC. I'm not certain the ACC is any good. We'll find out with Clemson. From a talent profile, dude, there's some value in Clemson. Like, people are acting like Georgia just is... from a talent standpoint, night and day better than Clemson. When you look at recruiting rankings and like overall position grades, Clemson should be able to compete with them. And if they don't, Dabo may be in some trouble. But when you look at as far as what's going to be the most interesting conference, it may be the Big 12. Because in the ACC, we feel like there's two, maybe three good teams. And that's a stretch. In the SEC, you know who's the favorite in the SEC, and in the Big Ten, you've got two, maybe three teams. You want to throw Michigan in there if you believe in Michigan. The Big 12, you can make a case. You can make a case for Arizona. You can make a case for Kansas. I've seen people make a case for Oklahoma State.
Utah.
Utah certainly is in there. I mean, this is going to be one of those. Oh, Kansas State, by the way, is another one that I've seen people picking. I mean, there is no consensus about what's going on in the Big 12. And even if they beat each other up, someone's going in from the Big 12. So from an entertainment standpoint, the Big 12 may give us something a little better than what the big boys are giving us.
Well, it starts tomorrow when Kansas laces them up against Lindenwood.
I was going to say, we said Linwood. It's Lindenwood.
Lindenwood. And it's in St. Charles, Missouri.
You want to take a shot at the enrollment there?
3,212.
A little bit higher. 6,900 undergrad.
Mm. All right. There's probably a good player on the team then.
Maybe one.
Yeah.
What's the spread? Do we have a spread?
Yeah, there probably is one.
I just had it here. Scrolling. Where'd it go? Scrolling.
You didn't read it and memorize it?
I didn't read it. 45, by the way.
Mm. What's more likely, Oregon covers against Idaho or Kansas covers against Lindenwood?
It's a good question. I'm gonna say Kansas.
Me too. I think the talent gap
is greater. I mean, Idaho is a real school. I mean,
so is Lindenwood, bitch.
I don't think it is. I really don't.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And also, look, I'm not trying to say anything about Kansas, but when you're on the come up, sometimes, you know, you want to feel out, sow your oats a little bit. I think Oregon's going to call off the dogs real, real early.
Right.
And I don't know, Kansas may keep their foot on the gas a little bit longer. You know, trying to just establish something. Oh, and someone else points out, too, we got Notre Dame A&M.
Is that this weekend?
I'm going to look and see.
Again, like the matchup. Yeah. So there's more than I thought.
Dame has, I think, six starts combined on their offensive line and two freshmen.
Okay, maybe it just needs to be packaged better by the networks or something. Just, I don't know, it just seems like every year we just really ease into college football with a few good games here and there. I don't know, I think they could do a better job of selling, hey, big opening kickoff weekend.
I tend to agree on that because, and the problem is that we've got 100 games and there's three of them that are interesting.
Yeah.
Or maybe four.
But maybe they could just put those three at three different time slots on Saturday and sell it as, kickoff.
Yeah, kickoff.
Saturday and freaking let's get wild.
Yeah, we do get Notre Dame at A&M.
Wow, that's a good
going
game.
Going to Kyle Fieldhouse there.
I mean,
Kyle Field. And
I think it's a good game.
I would think, Notre Dame's 7 and A&M's 20. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, every year I feel like A&M, we're like, oh, A&M, and then they kind of...
Yeah, but, new coach now.
New coach, but the fact that Notre Dame's got Riley Leonard, the Duke transfer,
quarterback in Notre Dame.
But the offensive line there that scares me a bit with Notre Dame. Plus, it's Notre Dame, and they always find a way to disappoint somebody.
All right, let's get to our poll question. It is housed on X at 1080 The Fan. Yesterday, we asked you who is the best bet to win NFL Comeback Player of the Year. Joe Burrow wins that poll, 51%.
I think they can win the Super Bowl.
Aaron Rodgers, 39%. Kirk Cousins, just 4%.
No love for Kirkers.
And Anthony Richardson, 6%, which is interesting. You know, I think Rodgers has a better chance than Burrow, just because Rodgers, I mean, he's just good. And he's going to put, he's going to put up numbers.
He will.
Burrow, the danger with Burrow is that some are saying he may never be the same because of his injuries.
Yeah.
And then Kirk is pretty motivated because he's got Michael Penix breathing down his shorts.
Yeah.
So... yeah, I think those are a little low.
Yeah, the Burrow thing will be interesting because, there were some saying that wrist injury that he has is something that can linger, can be a permanent sort of thing. But he's gotten nice reviews, but I don't know how honest anyone is.
He's got great new hair.
Yeah, he's got great new hair. He's doing the whole Slim Shady thing, and people are saying that he looks great and all that. And when Burrow's healthy, Cincinnati is as good as anyone in the NFL. I mean, one of these days we can get into it, but the AFC to me... the NFC is, there's interesting teams, but man, the AFC is an absolute meat grinder. And I don't know what to do with it when you look at some of these divisions where there's a couple of those divisions in the AFC that are three deep. I mean, whether you're talking about, Buffalo, Miami, New York, you're talking about Cleveland, Cincinnati, and this team, the Baltimore Ravens, Kansas City going for a three-peat. I mean, the AFC just in general is tough. But when Cincinnati's healthy, and they get some improved safety play, which last year was dreadful. I just think there's some people that are sleeping on Cincinnati this year.
All right, so we can get to that later. But the poll question today on X at 1080 The Fan, we ask when you vote, please vote hard. Where do you believe Oregon State and Washington State will ultimately end up? Is it the Big 12, the ACC, the Mountain West, or the Pac-12 with Mountain West additions? Yeah. Vote hard.
They want the Big 12, and they've got ESPN leaning because ESPN doesn't want to get sued. But it doesn't feel like the Big 12 necessarily wants them.
Yeah, I think the thing is here, realignment rumors have kicked back up.
Yeah.
And we don't need to get too into it because it's just sort of, when no one really knows, yeah. It's kind of it's futile.
Yeah.
But the word now is that the ACC is preparing for Florida State settlement to happen. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, defections begin.
Yeah.
And so the commissioner of the ACC is vetting Oregon State, Washington State. The other report was San Diego State, Memphis, UConn, Tulane, and South Florida.
Yeah.
But if they're doing that, so is the Big 12,
yeah.
Because the Big 12 knows there's about to be some restructuring going on, and Florida State could be available, mm-hmm. Clemson, you know, as well. So it's something's going to happen, and it may be soon with the Big 12 and the ACC. So I guess the question is which would you prefer? I would assume the Big 12
Oregon
State and Washington
State. And the schools are trying to push ESPN behind the scenes with a little pressure to try to get something done. They want to end up in the Big 12. They'll take the ACC. The death blow is the Mountain West backfill. So,
but would you take the ACC before knowing what's going on with the Big 12?
Yes. It's a lifeline. Take it.
So you just go in there, even though you may sell yourself a little short.
Because if you turn down the ACC and the Big 12 doesn't come calling, you're dead. You're irrelevant. And I really do mean that. You're San Diego State, you're Nevada, you know, Boise State. You are irrelevant in this world of college football. And financially, it's a death blow to being a real serious contending program. So if the lifeline is the ACC, you take the ACC. You take the sure thing.
Vancouver Ford text line, the easy way to make week one more exciting in college football is to mandate a conference game for week one for every conference.
Yeah, it'd be great.
That's awesome.
Yes, it would.
Good idea. I think there are some that are playing conference games. I don't remember who it was I saw recently that's playing a conference game in week one, but it does happen.
It does happen, but not very often. You either get a neutral site game or you get the Sister Mary of the Poor, Tallahassee JUCO.
All right. Are you ready for hot sports documentary talk?
Oh, I'm ready.
I mean, you tried to launch into it twice.
Well, it's pissing me off lately.
True story.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
Yeah, they're just...
I hear you.
In the words of Joey Harrington, that's just dumb.
Well, we have the Connor Stallions doc.
Yeah.
We have the Air McNair doc.
I'm not sure which one's worse.
We have Hard Knocks, which I didn't even finish this year.
Nope.
Get
that team out west.
That team out west. I haven't finished that. I'm gonna lock that down tomorrow before we have Dan Lanning on.
Yeah, I started it last night and have not finished it yet.
Why not?
Because
are you saying that it sucks?
No, I really like it. I just didn't finish it last night. I was too tired.
Too tired.
Yeah, I was getting heavy-eyed, you know, I had to go to bed.
I'm not gonna lie, I didn't finish it either.
See?
I've got a new monkey game on my PlayStation. It's occupying a lot of my free time.
We don't need to watch any of this.
No,
that's what we've learned.
No, exactly.
So let's come back and talk about it. Let's first, though, go to Buck with SportsCenter.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I just went through real quick before we get to Doc Talk the week one schedule, and the only team that played a conference game in week one was Florida State,
and they lost.
Played Georgia Tech,
yeah.
And interestingly enough, and that was week zero. Mm-hmm. In week one, the only team that plays, well, there are two teams that play a conference game, and it's Florida State again.
Yeah, they got Boston College.
They're
right?
Playing Boston College.
Starting out.
So Florida State, in their first 2 weeks of the season, will play conference games.
Interesting.
And if you look at their full schedule, they have two non-conference games at the end of the season. Now, is the Notre Dame game, is that considered an ACC game?
It doesn't count in ACC standings. But it's,
okay.
They have an ACC scheduled alliance, but it does not count towards ACC.
Okay.
It doesn't count towards the standings.
So they are done with their conference schedule on November 2nd because their last three games are Notre Dame, Charleston Southern, and Florida.
Yeah, and Florida's they've got one of those weird ones because they play Florida every year. So normally that would be at the front.
So to me, I mean, there's no reason why Florida State structures it this way. There's no reason why other teams, at least a few other teams, can't play conference games on the first week to drum up some interest. I mean, if you really go through the full schedule, all FBS games in week one, it is pathetic.
Yeah.
Now, like you said, there is
a handful of games.
Clemson, Georgia, there's Notre Dame, Texas A&M, but there should be way better games than the rest of these games.
Agreed. And here's the thing. I'm not saying that Florida State, Georgia Tech was like the end all to be all, but it's a hell, like if Oregon was playing Michigan State, right? No one's going to say that that's a world beater, but it's a hell of a lot more interesting than Oregon versus Idaho, right? I mean, even if you gave me like Indiana, again, not necessarily great, but you know, it's a conference game, which is weird. And that Indiana coach was kind of, you know, bloviating about the whole Google Me thing. And like, it's interesting. You can't make a storyline on it. Like
Google Me, bitch.
I have no interest, none other than seeing what Oregon looks like, maybe seeing some of the depth in the second and third quarters, seeing what the backup quarterback looks like. There's just nothing that I gain from watching Oregon, Idaho. And by the way, anyone want to bet that stadium's a quarter empty? And I know the kids aren't on campus, but I think we looked at it. What was it, like $10 to get into that game right now? You know, it's just...
Is that a little much?
Depends on you got to make the drive and all that, but I mean, it's just... It's the one... I'm not going to say it's the only, but to me, it's the biggest downside to college football is there's just so many of these games that just don't matter.
All right, now to sports documentary talk.
Oh, boy.
Speaking
of things that don't matter.
Yeah, he's got a bee in his bonnet over
there. They suck.
Sports docs now.
I mean, someone said it best on the Vancouver Ford text line. Someone said, everyone's just trying to make the last dance now. Everyone's taking total control. And by the way, that worked. And I understand that that was Michael that was driving that, but it worked. It was compelling. There was some controversy behind it. They gave us a lot of info. And yes, it was slanted towards Michael Jordan, but Scotty got his say in it, and he was kind of pissy about it. And
there's a lot that truly was untold. A lot of the stuff that's coming out now, it's footage of stuff we already know.
But going back to, I'm trying to think of the last handful that I watched. The Barry Sanders one was absolutely boring because it gave us absolutely nothing. It was a total snooze fest, and I like Barry Sanders. The Swamp King ones with the Florida Gators was the most horse-crapped, whitewashed thing I've ever seen. That team was full of criminals, including a murderer, and they were talking about how great Tim Tebow was, right? I watched the Steve McNair one. Oh, my
God.
That's
the same thing.
That thing was an hour long. It should have been 10 minutes. Dude, everything about that guy's murder was scandalous, and I mean everything.
Yeah.
Steve McNair, if you don't know, was murdered by his mistress.
20-year-old mistress.
By the way, had many of them.
Damn. Yeah.
And
did they catch her?
Yeah, well, she killed herself.
It was a murder-suicide.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. She shot Steve, murdered Steve McNair, and then shot herself in the head.
Oh.
Right? And I knew that going in. I learned almost nothing about that.
There was nothing new.
They pushed on nothing. Like, the guy, and this is like the one thing that I didn't know, the guy who found Steve McNair was Steve's buddy / bodyguard / whatever. So shady. And they all had this apartment. Well, basically, they all had keys, and it sounded like this.
So it was a flop house.
It's a flop house. It's where they partied at. Guy walks in, sees Steve lying on the couch, the girl lying on the floor. He goes in to get a beer. He just walks by their bodies. And then goes and grabs a beer and goes, oh, I saw some bullets on the floor, and I thought, oh, no. And what does he do? He calls one of the other friends. And no pushback, no questions, no nothing. That they just say that, and then they move on to what a great guy Steve McNair is.
Isn't that interesting, though?
But it's only...
It was like a puff piece on his MVP and Super Bowl run, though. It was so weird. And the whole thing was called The Murder of Aaron McNair. They spent like 30% of the thing talking about the murder.
Yeah, it's an hour long, and I kid you not, 30 minutes of it is Jeff Fisher talking about the year that they went to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And then at the very end, you get an investigator that comes in and says, dude, this whole investigation is horse crap. This is not the way it went down. You need to be looking at this other thing here. And they spend maybe 2 minutes letting that guy talk, and then it ends. Nothing. No follow-up. No, it's just over. I mean, it was such a waste of time. Other than, like, someone wanted to make that and be like, hey, Steve McNair was great. Apparently, no, he wasn't. Behind the scenes, it looked like there was a lot going down with Steve McNair, and they didn't touch any of it. And then when something actually interesting happened where you're like, oh, should we look into this? They just ended it. It was poorly done.
I watched the Stallions one too, and it's the same.
It's the same thing.
It's just propaganda from his point of view. The old school sports documentary, we should change the name. Because at this point, the joke's on us. Like, we're the problem.
They're just
like,
puff pieces.
Everyone's chasing the content because there's money to be made as people are eating up the content no matter what.
Yeah.
But it's leading to oversaturation and basically just propaganda. And the reason, at least in my opinion, that it's leading to just propaganda, which is just kind of an eye roll and we don't want to watch these anymore, is because to get access to subjects that people want to hear from, like Connor Stallions or maybe somebody in the Steve McNair case, these people want creative control. Like with social media platforms now, people no longer need to come clean to the truth, right? They no longer need to subject themselves to the truth. They just need, what they do is they tell what they believe to be the truth on their platforms, and people eat that up because they're a name of consequence.
Yeah.
And so they have that reach now. And that has really hurt sports documentaries. It maybe even just killed sports documentaries.
This may be my last one.
Because you cannot, as a journalist, set out to tell the complete story about anything in sports anymore because Connor Stallions isn't going to do it. Jim Harbaugh is going to tell you no. NCAA isn't going to talk to you. Steve McNair, you know, the police, like, why would we do this? We've got our own platform to talk about this. Or, you know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of, sports documentaries are a thing of the past if you really want to get the truth. Now, I think there's still some value in them in a sense that, like Hard Knocks, you know, I mean, you get to see some behind the scenes stuff. It's pretty, it's not pretty, it's very fluffy, but it's still, to me, there's value in it and people will watch it. And so, of course, there's money to be made. They're going to keep coming out. But that's really all it is.
It's just, it's insulting to me. And as a filmmaker, like, I'll get to the Stanley ones real quick, but back to the McNair thing. So they had the friend that showed up an hour after Steve McNair's murder.
Was that Gaddy, the old lineman guy?
The old lineman guy. So the one Steve McNair fan or friend that found him called the other friend. That guy showed up, and then they called 911 together an hour after the fact. And they're interviewing him. He's in it a bunch. At no point does the filmmaker just ask the question, why did you guys wait an hour to call 911? Why did he call you and not the police? Like, simple questions. And this goes to the Connor Stallions things, which was actually worse than Steve
McNair.
Okay,
can we pause?
Yes.
Trying to stay on track here.
Trying to stay on track.
I've got a lot to say about the Connor Stallions one, too. Yeah. It's absurd.
This effing
it's
guy,
even worse. I mean,
it's
worse. I didn't even see the McNair one.
It's worse.
And I can tell you the Connor Stallions one, you guys don't need to watch it. It's so bad.
It's awful. It might be the worst sports
and
quote documentary I've ever seen.
We'll tell you why when we return on The Fan. All right, we're talking about sports documentaries and how much they suck now. Although it should be said that the McNair documentary called The Murder of Bear McNair and the Sign Stealer one with Connor Stallions are both from the Untold series.
Yeah.
So it's the same. What we're about to talk about here with Sign Stealer is the same group that did the Bear McNair one, but it does seem like they're all kind of going down this road. I will say there is one more Untold episode coming out, volume 4 premiere next week, and that is Hope Solo versus U.S. Soccer, and that premieres Tuesday.
I promise you, I will not watch a second of that, because the McNair one, I watched because I knew somewhat the details, and I was like, maybe there's more to this. No, that thing was a hunk of crap, and then out of just pure boredom, I checked in on the Connor Stallions one, and shame on me. The Hope Solo thing will not get 1 second of my attention, because as bad as I thought the McNair one was, and as bad as I thought Swamp Kings was, and as bad as I thought the Barry Sanders one, and just on and on and on, the Connor Stallions ones might have been the most insulting thing that I've seen in years. It's that bad.
I will say you learn something in the Connor Stallions one. You learn
he's
what
obsessive nerd fanboy.
Well, you learn what he's like, yeah. And that is something that is new because he hasn't done anything. So it's sort of like, what is your expectation? Is your expectation to get to the bottom of the story? You don't get that in the Connor Stallions one.
But you
do learn what he's like.
I expect some, and maybe this is just I'm wrong, but I expect some level of journalism. I expect someone to ask a question.
Well, they did. I mean, look. Okay. So here's one example from the Connor Stallions one that they did ask him. They said, there is a photo of you on the Central Michigan sideline.
Yeah.
Here is the photo. And they hand him the photo.
Yeah.
And they say, what, I don't know what they asked, but something like, what do you think?
Yeah.
And he says, that doesn't even look like me.
And then he goes on to say that he can't remember if he went to that game or not. He literally says he can't recall.
I get what you're saying, but at the same time, it's like when you sit down with Connor Stallions and you give access to Connor Stallions. Yeah. I mean, in this particular documentary, Connor Stallions just kind of hung himself. The guy's a moron.
Yes.
He's
a rube.
He is a rube. And they paint him as, and maybe this is what you're talking about, they paint him as like really smart and dedicated because he went to the military just so he could get into coaching, and he was in the Marines. And they say, oh my God, he's a savant. He is a complete moron who is simply obsessed
with
being a coach at Michigan. That's it.
Yeah.
And so because... I mean, they go to him and they're like, hey, there are videos of people in seats that you purchased to other college football games of Michigan's opponents, and they are videotaping. And they're all at the 50-yard line. They're all like two rows. What do you have to say to that? And he's like, well, sometimes those people send me videos because, well, I'm the video guy. And you know, it's just like your mom, when she gets you a gift that you already have, and you're just like, well, thanks. You don't really give it back. I mean, like, he's so absurd.
It is.
And he has such a bad story that I don't think that's really on the journalist. I mean, honestly, he's that big of a dope that he thought that this would maybe make him look good, and
he looks like an ass.
There's really nothing to that story. No. He was overzealous. He went too far, and he got Michigan in trouble, and at the same time, I think, in a weird way, he loves the attention that he is getting from this.
Could be. I mean,
he went to the championship game against Washington in Michigan gear, no disguise, with a camera crew following him.
Yes.
So he clearly loves this.
Well, he is, the one thing that I took from it is he's a stalker. If you took what he did and put that on an individual instead of a program, he would have a restraining order against him. I mean, he was a Marine officer living in California, and he would fly to the Michigan games. And the way he supported that was he would sleep in his car and rent out his house, Airbnb, so that he could afford to fly to go see Michigan games. And by the way, this is just when no one knows who he is. He's just a dude. I mean, he went to the Naval Academy just because he thought eventually it could help Michigan football. I mean, he is a stalker of the highest order.
Yeah, he's obsessed.
But some of the stuff, and this is like why I'm insulted. Like when he says, I can't remember whether or not I was at the game. Like, seriously? And again, this is where the journalistic thing bothers me. Like it's like when you watch an interview with a presidential candidate and they clearly give an absolute horse crap answer, and then there's just no follow up. Like if I'm interviewing Connor Stallions and I say, hey, here's a picture of you on the sidelines at Central Michigan, what do you have to say about that? And he goes, that doesn't look like me. And wouldn't the next question be, well, it is you. The NCAA believes it's you. Central Michigan thinks it's you. And you respond with, well, I can't remember. I can't remember if I was at that game or not. Again, the next follow-up question should simply be something along the lines of, you seriously are telling me you can't remember whether or not you went in disguise to a Central Michigan football game?
Well, that's what he's saying, though.
But so that's my point, is
they let them hang himself. Yeah. And that's kind of what, I mean, you're not getting anything more out of him. The guy, again, I just don't think there's anything with Stallions. Yeah. He and his attorney are saying that a private PI firm, who was investigating him hacked his email, which is total bullshit.
Yeah.
But they're going as far as to blame Ohio State for that.
Yeah.
So it's all it is. You don't need to watch it. All the Connor Stallions thing is it's half baked. Covering his ass and covering the ass of a sloppy, overzealous football moron.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
And there's really nothing much more than that, because everything that they get, I mean, they have him dead to rights on everything. I mean, there's proof that he bought tickets to, like, I think it was like 35 games.
Mm-hmm.
And his retort to that, and they ask him about it, and his retort to that is, well, when I was in the military, I was going to a lot of games.
Yeah. And sometimes I buy tickets for my friends.
Again, it's like, okay, you hung yourself in multiple ways. He's a moron. It's just there's not a lot of teeth to that. And we kind of thought there might be because it was so salacious.
Yeah.
But there really wasn't.
Yeah.
It's not unlike Buck was talking about this off the air, but the Manti Te'a one was really good. There was a lot of teeth to that.
Yeah.
And you had people opening up about it on both sides, and it made for a pretty interesting story.
Yeah.
It's, and I get what you're saying about the journalist, but it's not always the journalist's fault that the story isn't that interesting. You know what I'm saying?
I guess I do think it is, because if you're making the documentary, it is your job to make it interesting. It is your job to ask questions. And to me, when you ask the most basic question and you clearly get a lie that no one believes and there is zero follow-up, I guess that's all I'm asking for, is for someone to follow up on a question sometime and just simply make someone explain their absolute ridiculous story, as opposed to simply saying, well, here's an hour and a half thing of Connor Stallions telling you whatever Connor Stallions wants.
Yeah, I mean, they basically told the story, but it wasn't that interesting. So what is the role of the filmmaker to make it more interesting? I mean, I just don't know how much they could have done with that.
I just know that when it's done right, a la the Manti Te'a thing, it can be really good. But from Johnny Manziel to the Barry Sanders one to this, and it's just on and on and on. I don't know, man. I think I'm over sports documentaries. They just are not, they're not good. They are not worth your time.
Well, to me, with the Stallions one, when that situation was going down, that story was captivating. And so to me, the documentary should have also been captivating. So I don't know if that means you need to talk to different people. I know a lot of people, everyone on the Michigan side is going to be tight-lipped, so you're not getting anything there.
There you go. Right there. That's, that right there goes back to what we first said. when you do a documentary now, you do not get access to both sides. Yeah. You only get access to one side. Michigan's not going to say anything about this, and neither is the NCAA. And it would have been way more interesting had they had, because at the end of the Connor Stallions documentary, and I got all the way through it, unfortunately.
Yeah, there was the interview with the NCAA. They I woke up for that.
They did have the interview with him sitting down with his attorney with the NCAA, which I thought was interesting. But again, nothing came of it because he's just sitting there lying.
Yep.
And so, and they can't get anywhere with him. So the NCAA could have spoken. They didn't and probably wouldn't. And Michigan wouldn't. So when you do these documentaries, these filmmakers, they know that they're only going to get one side of the story, and it's going to be whitewashed by the subject that they are presenting. Yeah. Because otherwise, why would they even do the documentary?
All I know is the one thing that I took out of this, and it's the only thing, and I think the NCAA is stupid and it's ridiculous. I hope they hammer Michigan right in the junk. I hope Connor Stallions gets a 10-year show cause. I hope that guy's never allowed anywhere near, because if the whole idea is that, yes, you know, you cheated, it's not the biggest thing in the world, but it's like the USC thing. When you actively try to cover it up and you insult all of our intelligence and you do they gave him the game ball, for God's sakes, against Iowa. And yet we're like, Jim Harbaugh personally gives him the game ball, and yet this asshat is on there saying that he doesn't know who this Connor Stallions is and he's a low-level rogue operative. Kiss my hind.
Well, like, and the booster, too. Don't forget the booster.
Exactly.
There was a booster named Uncle Tim Smith, who was paying for all of this, all of his tickets and everything. And that guy suddenly just, I mean, the day after the news comes out that he was paying for what Connor Stallions was doing, the guy gets booted from his role on whatever, I don't know, it was like a board or something.
And they fired their linebacker coach.
And Stallions, by the way, says, Uncle T, never heard of him.
Yeah.
So it is definitely insulting to your intelligence.
You can't take away championships. Obviously, we all saw those games played. They won it. But I hope that Michigan, and especially Stallions and Moore and the people that are still there, I really do hope that the NCAA attempts to kneecap them a little bit, because, you know, and I don't care that they cheated. You got caught. Take your punishment like a man. This crap, this line of BS that you're putting out there, like I said, it insults all of our intelligence, and, you know, I hope they end up.
Well, the other thing they do in there too, and you could tell it was a fine line, is they had to kind of paint Michigan as like this, you know, scorned, underdog that against all odds won the title, and it wasn't crazy due to sign stealing. Like they had to present that part of it too.
Drove me crazy.
And you could tell that came from the fact that Connor Stallions is still a really big Michigan guy.
Yep.
They could not really
take
a dump on Michigan in the dock.
An interview with him in his car, longingly looking out over the stadium. Oh, my God. Like, just, he would have sex with the Michigan program. I don't know how you make love to a football program, but if it's possible, Connor Stallions would do it. He isn't a weird, obsessed fanboy.
Towards the end, though, they do reveal that there were other schools that bought tickets to opponents' games. But then they didn't. Well, I mean, that's a thing. But, of course, they just gloss over it, and the documentary ends.
Yeah.
And, by the way, one of those schools in there was Utah.
I knew it. That's why they keep kicking BYU's ass.
Utah. I think it was Utah, Clemson, Illinois, and Ohio State that they put in there.
Look at that. Well, maybe
it ended.
We need a new documentary about those schools.
What are they doing?
Their own narrative.
Who are their Connor Stallions?
It's so dumb.
Their sports documentary talk.
Don't watch it.
I say do watch it. Do whatever you want. Don't listen to Big Suit.
It's not good.
No.
I'm not sure which one is worse.
No. It is not good, but you do get a sense of how pathetic Connor Stallions is.
That you do.
That
he's
I will
a bitch.
Tell you. All right, get excited for Johnny Manziel's return next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.